This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Spoken with Mr. Daryl McDaniels yet this morning?
I have not. I spoke with Eric. He should be calling in the next 5 minutes or so. And you know the other thing you need to talk to him about, and I begged Eric, and he's like, I can't give it to you. It hasn't been released yet or whatever. But did you see the news story about Daryl collaborated with – it's him, Duff McKagan, Travis Barker, Mick Mars, and Sebastian Bach.
I heard about this.
Yeah, so they did – it's like a – they redid Black Betty.
Yes.
But it's like She Gets Me High or what. Like it's a different song,
same
feel. But I tried to see if he'd give me at least a clip of it or whatever. He's like,
Eric, Mr. Blam was like, I'd love to.
Blamoville said, no.
Yeah. Eric is his right hand. And Eric is great. I love him. I really do.
He is the best.
He's just so very nice, man. I just so many funny moments with these guys. So I don't know if I ever told you. So we went to see him at KU at Allen Fieldhouse, which was pretty great.
Late Night in the Fog.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Rev Run, and it's Daryl and Eric, and they're coming in on one of those, from their hotel, on one of those, like, you know, the little shuttle things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the nice limo shuttle things. You know what I'm talking about. Like
it's
like a limo short bus.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been waiting around the backside of the hall, and I was like, okay, actually, I text my, hey, man, how do I get in? Like, should I go to the front? Are there tickets there? Should I wait back here for you? Like, I've got myself and Pinball Jeff and my girlfriend. And the shuttle stops, so I jump. They go, hey, come here. And I jump on to find out what I should do, and they shut the door, and it starts to move. And I'm like, I'm looking at my girlfriend Jeff, and I'm like, hold on, I got two people with it. But they had already decided. Oh, I guess he's going with them. We'll see him later.
Oh.
I was like, no. And I'm looking at my guy. I go, all the time we spend together, I leave you places. I just walk away and leave you.
Have I ever stepped back there and been like, see you in a minute?
Yeah. Bye, bitch.
She's like, well.
Yeah, never.
I guess he's gone.
I know. She was just going to, she's like, I guess that's how they do it here.
Dude, lots of guys' girlfriends are back there.
Yeah, right?
That's how they do it here in Lawrence, where I'm from.
Yeah. Boys just get on the shuttle bus and leave you. But it just, Eric's one of those guys, like, he gets it done.
Yeah.
Like, he's a wonderful guy, man. I really want to know about that work with Duff. He told me that they were working on it back when we saw each other last. But I didn't know that it was finished. I didn't know if it was mixed. I didn't know if it was going to be released.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if we could get some kind of clip. And I don't even know if it's done yet or not. And he's like, yeah, no, you'll get it. He goes, you'll be one of the first, but you'll get it when you get it.
One of my favorite songs of all time, man. I mean, it really is. That just like... I didn't realize Roman, who's very good at music theory. You know, there's a math to music that they'll teach you. There's
right.
a certain way it's structured. And he goes, this runs against everything you'll ever learn about music. He goes, the song, the time changes, the keys, the way it's written. He goes, it literally makes no sense to a musician whatsoever. Because, you know, these crazy hillbillies that wrote this were just all jacked up on speed. Like,
this is one of the greatest videos of all time.
Sure.
You have to look it up.
Like that weird. And it does about three different weirdo time changes. He goes, yeah, none of that makes any sense at all. But yet,
Which is what makes it fantastic.
And when you see the video, have you ever seen the video?
I don't know how I've never seen the video because I love this song.
You have to watch it.
It looks like just regular band you would have seen at any bar, any night, anywhere in the South in that era. And no way special. And they're just standing in the yard.
And just full 70s up. And you could expect anything. You would expect a dude on a mini bike in a diaper to jump a kiddie pool.
Well, that would have been too much.
It's so good.
That would have been too much entertainment.
They basically just hit record.
Yeah, and it was just dude wearing street clothes. Like, just doing it. Like this.
For somebody that's seen every video, I'm filled with shame I've not seen this.
Like, this is a whole different song.
Mm-hmm. And it ain't short.
Dude, that bass line sounds like methamphetamines. Like I've been up for 3 days.
Boys, I got an idea.
You should really pick up on the basic. Alright, listen, I can do this all day. It really is one of my all-time favorite songs. Jim Jefferies on the way. He's going to be here on the 28th of January. We'll talk to him about the Moist Tour before 10 o'clock this morning. Cough, Scott Sports in your shorts. But Daryl McDaniels, one of my all-time favorite people. And just, you know, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, a legend. And to see his life, obviously as a kid, I grew up listening to DMC. Like, that's just part of your musical landscape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember all of it like it was yesterday. I remember the Kansas City dates. I remember friends of mine getting those T-shirts. I remember people turning you on with the cassette tapes and hearing it. I remember it was different. I remember thinking Aerosmith likes them.
Video itself.
All of it. And then, you know, fast forward 20-some years and you know, you find yourself having lunch or dinner or sitting on a tour bus or just having great conversations with Daryl McDaniels, who then, of course, becomes very human, you know. Because he is larger than life. I mean, everything about Run DMC was bigger than life. Mm-hmm. From the hats to the glasses to the Adidas to the everything, the tracksuits. It was, you know, we'd never seen that in suburban white rock and roll world, right? In Olathe, Kansas. It was really kind of fun and exciting and new. And people felt like you know, what am I supposed to like this? I like Iron Maiden.
Yeah, but the way he would weave his words in and out and made it so cool.
Born May 31st in Harlem and raised in Hollis, Queens, New York, in 1984, he helped form what would become one of the biggest and most influential rap groups in music history, Run DMC. Millions of records sold, and status as one of the forefathers of hip-hop led to the group's 2009 induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And his friendship with Jesse James Dupre and Jackal has made him part of our family. He's just released a new children's book, titled Daryl's Dream. And he's preparing to release a new album featuring appearances by Mick Mars, Sebastian Bach, Travis Barker, Duff McKagan, and more. Please welcome, hip-hop legend and longtime friend of the show, the man known as DMC, Daryl McDaniels.
How are you feeling this morning, D?
I'm feeling really good. How you doing, Jay?
Good, man. That Daryl's Dream looks fantastic, man. That's a great book.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's the funny thing about it. It's a book that I did for the children, Johnny, and all the parents want it like it's an album.
Yeah, no, that's exact. I was thinking the same thing going, man, all the parents that grew up with DMC that really love them, like reading this to a kid or even a grandkid now, there's just certain imagery in there and you go, oh yeah, Daryl, Run DMC. Yep. Like you don't feel like a jack off reading this to a kid. You're like, Come here, kid.
Right, Jackie, right, because, you know, everybody knows me from when I graduated high school, and then I went to St. John's University, and I hooked up with Run and Jay, and then, you know, we walked this way in our Adidas while telling the world how tricky it is. But people are loving the book. The kids are being introduced to this Darryl guy that their mothers, fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers know about. But the parents are now seeing the guy that they know, but they're so blown away because, yo, this is Darryl in third grade. This is Darryl in fourth grade. It's like everything I've always done artistically, y'all were always a part of it.
Sure. No, that's this will be a great success. It'll be fantastic, man. And I think people are going to be lining up at all the Comic-Cons to get you to sign it, too.
To get me to sign the children's book. That's crazy, right? But it's just universally, generationally impactful. And it's a positive way that I could connect with the younger generation just to do what I've always done, inspire and motivate. And, you know, I just heard you speaking about it. We were larger than life, but the beautiful thing about Run DMC, if you was in Compton, if you was in Beverly Hills, if you was in Kansas, if you was in Philadelphia, if you was in Germany, when y'all saw Run DMC, y'all saw, you know, the fame of us, but you also saw something positive about yourselves in us.
Sure. No doubt about it. Well, and it was also that was at a time when you never saw rap and rock mix over. And we've talked about this with Aerosmith, but it was something great about that. And I think you must have been the same way in Hollis, Queens growing up, because you liked, you liked all these bands, these Aerosmith bands and Zeppelin and Creedence.
Yep.
And you know, I'm sure that you got some funny looks from your friends. They're like, you like what?
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing is that until we showed it in the Aerosmith video, when Steven Tyler took the mic stand and knocked the wall down, a lot of people were into it anyway. Just yesterday at my gym, I had one of my the people at my gym.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Yo, Dean, we grew up in Long Island City with a bunch of white dudes were playing for the, Hempstead High School football team. They used to ride around, and remember the black bands, Johnny? Remember bands was popular?
Oh, sure.
Customized band.
Yeah.
So they used to ride around in this black band, and it was just nothing but metal and rock on it. I'm talking about Def Leppard, Iron Maiden, more, everything. But he said people would get in the van with them, you know what I'm saying? And the guy that owned the van would put in the cassette, and it would be Run DMC. And he said everybody who ever got in that van who was a metalhead of the rock band, you just saw every doubt, every negativity melt off of them. And he said, everybody that got in my band and got out of that band, walked out of that band with Motorhead, Def Leppard, and Run DMC representation. Yeah. I was like, wow.
No, and at the time, you never know the lasting, effect that you have on the world, on culture, on the way somebody grows up. Music is so important to us. And to the point, like I was explaining to these guys, you told us a story. We're all sitting at Naismith Hall, and it was, man, what an incredible, I can't thank you enough, man. That was so much fun to see you guys at KU. I'd always heard about the legend of this place, this arena, and to see DMC there, and to see, that what it was all about. Like, that was really an experience for me,
crazy,
man.
Yeah, it was probably I'm looking at all the parents that grew up with me smiling, but then I'm also looking at all their little kids smiling, too, because they're like, oh, my God, that shit is tricky TikTok people. Oh, my God, that shit is tricky TikTok people.
Yeah. Well, and watching you with Bill Self, who's, of course, a legend in basketball, and those kids in that locker room, and I was just standing back thinking, how did I get, I felt like an alien looking at this world. I'm like, I'm watching you and Rev talk to these kids, and these are the best of the best, the next crop, of professional athletes, and Bill Self, it's just such a, it was a really fantastically strange experience for me.
It was, and the whole staff and their families and everything, but that's just the power of goodness.
Yeah. So we're all sitting waiting for the show to start. And D starts to tell this story, and Michael Jackson knew that DMC, Run DMC, was the moment. Like, and there was a credibility that he lacked. Now, he, of course, with Michael Jackson, he's the Thriller. He's got the Victory Tour under his belt now. He's, you know, the Jackson 5. I mean, he is an incredible superstar worldwide, nobody bigger. Goodness. But what he lacked was a bit of credibility and grittiness, and he came to you guys. And he wanted you guys to come because he could beatbox, right?
Yes, he could beatbox, and he could rap, and it was funny. He wanted to make a record with us. He said, this really humbles me. Michael Jackson looked at me, Run J, and DJ Hurricane from the BTs was with us, and Michael Jackson says out of his mouth, "Run DMC, you guys are great." And I'll never forget that because I'm standing there, Johnny, saying, "Oh my God, Michael Jackson is standing there salivating, saying, 'Run DMC is great.'" Then he goes, "Jesse, I love the thing that y'all did with Walk This Way and Steven Tyler, but I don't want to do that." He said, "I want to do a beat like Peter Piper." Now we looking at him like, "What?" We're like, "I'm going to do it like Peter Piper, and y'all going to rap, and I'm going to sing." And then he said, "I want the beat to go like this." And then Johnny, he just goes into this beatbox that will put Dougie Fresh to shame. And we stand in there amazed.
Right.
Michael was a musical, artistic genius. But imagine standing there seeing Michael Jackson do the beatbox of Peter Piper with the 808 drums and the hi-hats and everything,
right.
Johnny.
Yeah. Well, you think to yourself, how could you know what we do? Like, just because you grew up, like we all did, you think... When you were a kid, he was a kid. You know, Jackson 5.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so he's got he's got Bubbles the monkey with him.
But he got Bubbles the monkey with him. And Bubbles the monkey is walking around with overalls on, a T-shirt, sneakers, and a hat tucked to the side. And, you know, so when he first walked in the room, you know, and we were all speechless. So I could imagine, you know how you have a movie and you can hear the thoughts of the person on the screen?
Right.
So I could imagine what Jay and Hurricane and Run were saying. But when he walked in, I was like, "Oh, my God, this is Michael Jackson standing here telling me I'm great." And then I looked into his hands. He got Bubbles. He's holding Bubbles like a little kid. And I said, "Then he got Bubbles the monkey." It was crazy. So he set Bubbles down. And the whole meeting, Bubbles is walking around up to each and every one of us like a kid that's checking out the people in the room. It was surreal. It was surreal. And we never said nothing about it, but every once in a while we would look at each other and go, "Yo, this is Michael Jackson, and he got a monkey." It was crazy. And then after that, you know, he's sitting there, he's talking about the record, and "I'm going to do this," and boom, bang, or whatever. And then he looks over at Jam Master Jay. And me and Run didn't have our dookie rope yet. Jay had his fat rope. He had the Adidas sneaker hanging from the rope. And he looks over at Jay, and he goes, "Oh, my God, that's beautiful." And I remember he had a chef, and he had an assistant with him. And he turns to the assistant and goes, "I forgot her name," but he goes something like, "Mary, isn't this beautiful?" And Jay's like, "Oh, okay, you want to try it on?" And he gives it to Michael, and Michael puts it on his neck. He starts hitting the B-boy stance. He puts his hand on his waist. He folds his arm. He hits the breakdancing stance and all of that. And we love it every minute. So the funny thing is, before, when Jay gave him the chain, he gave the monkey to the assistant. So Michael's taking a chain off of his neck, and he's putting it back around Jay's head. So Bubbles, not thinking, not violently, Bubbles is thinking, "Oh, Jason must be nice because Daddy is putting his arms around Jason." So as Michael is laying the chain back around Jason's neck, Bubbles lunges at Jay. Not, you know, not like a tap mode. He just lunges at Jay, and Jay just jumps up. "Yo, what the number?" And then everything slows down. Bubbles fly in the... And it's funny. I mean, this wasn't a film, but time just slowed down. You see Bubbles jump into the air in slow motions, arms flailing, feet flailing. And then everybody looks at Michael, and you just hear Michael goes, "Bubbles!" Oh, my God. And then Michael it's going in slow motion. Michael catches bubbles. Michael catches bubbles. Boom. And then everything speeds up. Michael just turns around at us, and he gives us this evil look. And people say Michael had an evil side. People say Michael had a side where if he was close to Michael, you would hear him say F this and F Motown and F Tommy, F all these people. So we didn't get the voice, but we got the evil Michael look. Like, y'all just upset my monkey. Well, nobody upsets but. So we looking at Michael, and it looks like he's about to curse us out. Then he says, you know what, let's just eat. And then we knew he was pissed. So I remember what happened. I remember it. So it got real quiet. We had swordfish, asparagus, broccoli, brown rice, and something else. And we're sitting there. And after this bubbles incident, nobody said anything. So Jay's funny. And over here, Michael's up on the stage sitting in like a lotus position eating, right? And Jay says, yo, I'm going to say something. We're like, don't say something. You're messed up already. This and that. We got to get this record made. Whatever. He said, no, I'm going to say something. So Jay, just to break the ice, Jay says, yo, Michael, man, this food is really good, man. It's just incredible. What do you think about it? And I just remember Michael saying, he goes like this. This is Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The food is good.
You're like, oh, this is bad.
He was like, well, and then we said, I guess, you know, the bubbles didn't get hurt. Nobody got hurt. And then it calmed down. And then Michael was like, okay, I really want to make this record. Let's get together. Basically what happened was the meeting was over, but I guess Michael was trying to be nice. But he was like, okay, I really want to make this record. Let's get together in another 2 weeks or whatever. But here's the funny part about the story. We never got to make, now, Michael Jackson and Run DMC was going to make a record together. We never got to make a record together, and people always ask me why. I was like, man, we were too busy to make a record with Michael Jackson. Because Walk This Way, my ideas. But what had happened was we had to meet with him, and then we had another brief meeting with him, and then every time we wanted to get together to go to the studio, shoot, we was touring the world with the Beasties. And then when we was off the road for a brief time, Michael was over in Europe. And then when Michael was ready to do it, man, yo, Michael, man, we in Japan for the next 3 months. So because of time constraints and how busy Run DMC was, we never had time to actually hunker down and make the song with Michael Jackson. But just to have that opportunity and you know, one of the greatest, I met everybody in the business. But how many people could say that they hung in person?
Well, I mean, and dude, I feel like we got to defend Jay. Like, he grew up in Hollis, Queens. He never saw anybody with a goddamn monkey before, dressed up like a human being.
Right. And then Jay, and like I said, Bubbles was like being nice. He was like, oh, daddy likes this man. So yeah. Bubbles put his arms out there. Jay was like, yo, what the hell was this?
Yeah. And you know, he threw Bubbles a little bit, right? He didn't hurt him.
No, not at all. Not at all. It wasn't that. But Jay was like, yo, you know what? I see you on TV. But I saw the movie. Like, I remember, this is too new. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm cool as hell.
Oh, it's so great.
I'm not used to this. And that's just the beauty of things that happen when people from different cultures and,
yes,
and races and creeds come together.
I had this talk about somebody yesterday. We were talking about that we live in this crazy world. If you're just joining the show, the great, the legendary Daryl McDaniels is with us. Run DMC, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 15 million plus records sold. And we're talking about all of this life that he has lived. And from breaking down these musical barriers to today with a brand new book, Daryl's Dream, available in all the bookstores and online now. It's a good children's book. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
I was going to say, we were talking about, we live in this world where everybody, the new rallying cry, right, is we need diversity. We want diversity.
Yeah.
And I go, great, I love diversity. That sounds fun. But then if you discuss the differences in people's culture, the world explodes. Yep. And I'm like, look, guys, you're going to have to pick a side. If you want it to be a diverse world, then you've got to be able to enjoy people's diversity.
Yes.
And it's got to be okay to be like, hey, man, what about this? Tell me about this.
Right, exactly. Bro, 100%. You know, that's powerful. One of the things that I'm noticing with the children's book is, which was, I spoke at a lot of schools, Johnny, high schools, and then the high schools was like, take this to the middle schools, and the middle schools, take this to the elementary school kids. So for the last, I would say, about 9 or 10 years, I've been talking, you know, kindergarten to sixth grade. Now, imagine me. And when I go in there, I talk to them like I speak to you. Right. So, you know, they're looking at me, you know, I'm like, I'm 55 years old, and before I leave the classroom, we're going to find out that we have a lot in common, right? And by the time we leave, the kids find out, I like comic books, too. I like Star Wars, too. I like rice pudding, too. Oh, you got bullied? I get bullied now. But here's the powerful thing about discussing, you know, your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities, and even your differences. You know, y'all guys, you know, some people, you know, they bake their chicken. You know, the black guys like it fried and stuff like that. But it's all the same thing. But the most powerful thing about talking to these kids at such a young age is, usually when I finish a Q&A at a high school or even a middle school, their questions are, and these are supposed to be the more mature people, right?
Right.
Now, their questions are, do you know Cardi B? You know, do you know Diddy?
Sure.
Do you know Beyonce? Do you know Taylor Swift? But the kindergarten, I always open up for Q&A because you want to have dialogue and conversation with these kids. Kindergarten to sixth grade, Johnny, it's always, how did you feel when you got teased and bullied? How did you feel when your bigger brother did that to you? How did you feel when your mother said you could stay up late to watch the movie? These kids have a lot of feelings, emotions,
sure. Yeah.
That are mental things that if we don't allow them to express them now, they will eventually have those problems when they're grown.
No doubt about it.
You know what I'm saying?
And somebody needs to tell them it's okay to be upset about it. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You can be upset. You can be angry. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be scared. But more importantly, it's like rock and roll. It's like punk rockers and rock and roll. You can have green hair. You can have freckles. You don't got to wear, you know, I tell the kids, and they look at me like, you're giving us permission to be who we want. I say the coolest person in this whole school is the person that don't want to wear or Air Jordans because of Michael, and you don't have to wear Adidas because of Run DMC. And you should see the relief that falls off their face. I tell these kids, you can be who you are. And that's what rock and roll taught me, which allowed me, Johnny, to be so powerful when I came into hip-hop. You
that's
know
right.
what I mean?
Nope, without
I
a doubt.
I've been rhyming about family and Christmas time in school. So our diversity, expressing our differences, is the actual thing that brings us closer together.
Yes. Yes, without a doubt, man. And being great with it and being curious about it. And we'll figure it out someday. We get a little closer, I think, all the time. But it does.
Exactly.
We were just laughing about You know, it's a great word, and we throw it around a lot, diversity. But then if you ask somebody about our differences, then everybody's like, oh, and I'm like, look, man.
Right. You know, imagine me, you know, I'm getting ready to put the record out. I'm going to make sure you get the exclusive, Johnny. The record is being prepped right now.
This.
We get ready to go with the layout. I'm going to make sure that you're the first person in the continental USA to get the record. But the whole record came about from we did a redo of a Ram Jam Black Betty from the 80s.
Great song.
So you know everybody loves that song. Incredible riff to play. So it actually just started with me sampling it. Then it went to the producer. Let me shout out my man Sonic. He's a great producer. Produced crazy hip hop and R&B. But he was at a speaking of diversity. He was at a football game. And at the football game, like hockey games and all basketball games, you know, in the intermissions and timeouts, they play records. So they'll play Van Halen. They'll play Queen, of course. They'll play Rage. They'll play Black Sabbath, Benazi. But they also play Run DMC.
Right.
Sonic was like, you need to do another one of these. He said, right now is the perfect time to do it. So we did a sampled version. And Sonic was like, no, we got to get live with this. So the first person that I met just talking with Sebastian Bach. See, what you up to? I tell him about the idea. I'll sing it. We ain't going to sample. I'll sing it live. And then the second person that I met was Travis Barker. Yo, D, what's up? What you up to? Well, I got this song, this and that, Travis. Oh, and it was almost like, ooh, I want to come play. Can I come over?
You remember that? Awesome.
Ooh, can I join it? So it went from me doing just a sample remake for having Sebastian Bach sing, Travis Barker play drums. Then I went to a meeting before this person wanted to do a DMC cologne. During the DMC cologne meeting, Mick Mars from Motley Crue calls in. and says, DMC's in the room. Let me speak to him. I love those guys. And the first thing Mick said to me, yo, DMC, I got a lot of them, but I love your hat.
And
it was
great.
Just a hat thing. Yeah, it was crazy. I love your hat. And he was like, yo, if you ever need me to do something, I'm going to say, oh, Mick, by the way, I got Sebastian and Travis. Good deal. And his was crazy, Johnny. I was going to bring him here and do the whole VIP celebrity thing. You know, I bring him to New York Four Seasons. He says, no, DMC, you get your butt on a plane. You come to L.A., and I'm going to make Nikki Sixx give us his studio for the day. We'll do it there. So I fly to L.A. I record with Mick Mars in Nikki Sixx studio. So this is over a period of a couple of years. So just about 8 months ago, Sebastian runs into Duff. You know, Duff was doing Guns N' Roses.
Right.
And that. So Duff was really cool. Duff was like, yo, that sounds like a good idea. Let me hear it. Because if he hated it, he probably wasn't going to do it.
Sure.
So we emailed the song to Duff, you know, to the point where we're at. 10 minutes later, I'm going in the studio right now. This is incredible. So I think that the feeling that each artist had just doing something that was fun and enjoyable. And look at the diversity of the generations. Sebastian Bach, Travis Barker, Mick Mars, Duff McKagan, and DMC. That's like 50 years of different culture. And so when we get that, Johnny, you're definitely going to be the first to get it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. And it's funny because Duff is a friend, and you and he, you guys share a lot of similar thoughts about this world, about history, about the way you live your life. Hell, both you guys sober and what you've gone through in your lives. And honestly, you think about the height of fame and everything that comes along with it and the pitfalls.
You
guys are incredibly similar. And I'm telling you, Duff McKagan's one of my favorite people in this world. And I cannot tell you.
Everybody said he's an amazing person. Everybody said, yo, G, you're going to love Duff and he's going to love you.
Yep. It's by the way, if you haven't played their pinball game, it's incredible. The Guns N' Roses pinball machine is so good, dude.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'll tell you, how there's not a Run DMC pin yet. And, you know, because there's a huge resurgence in this pinball thing. This new Guns N' Roses. Jersey Jack is who you want to do it. Jersey Jack Pinball.
Jersey Jack.
I'm telling you, Jersey Jack Pinball is the company you want to do this because they're the guys changing the thing. They did the GNR game, new technologies.
You know, that's so funny, Johnny. I was at the a couple of months ago. I was at the Seattle Comic Con, and one of the people that got online to get my book, he brought that up. He said, "Why does the Run DMC have a pinball game?" Then he started going into all the history, and then he was telling me about the different venues that have the pinball machines. He said the same thing. He said, "DMC, why doesn't Run DMC have a pinball machine? It'd be one of the coolest ones to have, along with all the other ones." All right, so I got to put that on my bucket list. I got the kids' book now.
Yep.
So my next thing is to get a Run DMC pinball machine into the world.
I'm telling you, in the last 10 years, there's been a Metallica, an Aerosmith, an Iron Maiden, new Guns N' Roses, a Beatles. Like, a Run DMC would be, Alice Cooper's got one, Rob Zombie's got one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, you guys, it would be perfect.
It's wrong if we don't have one.
It is. Well, listen, I know you got a million things going, D, and I can't wait to see you, my friend. I love you, and I'm proud for you, man, that new children's book, Daryl's Dream.
Thank you.
And I cannot wait to hear the new project.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure you get the Black Betty song will be called She Gets Me High.
Cool.
She Gets Me High. Oh, Black Betty. But, everybody get the children's book, and the beautiful thing about the children's book is you can read it with your kids, and you can enjoy it, too. They will enjoy it because they will see themselves. And after you read the kids' book with them, you can put on Tricky, and y'all can dance.
Right on. Listen, hey, Eric's good. Your family's good?
Yeah. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's healthy. Thank you. Eric had COVID, but he got over it. So
good.
It's a serious thing because we thought we was invincible. We don't get COVID. Eric had it. He didn't get sick or nothing, but he's good now. Everybody's healthy.
All right. Loved everyone, man. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, Johnny. Thank you. And Kansas City, I love you like a mother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.